good to see you this morning. We are so glad to have you here. I want to thank Ike for reading this morning and writing the Meditate on This. And I would also like to let you know if writing is something that you like to do from time to time, I'm going to open that up periodically for some other people to participate in writing that. And so I know that we've got people with a variety of gifts in here, and I love when different people use those gifts to bless the church. So Ike, I appreciate you doing that, and let me know if that's something that you're interested in, and we'll find a way to make that happen. Let me also point something out to you, and that is on Saturday, November 3rd, we are having a Discovering Chennault meal. Now, it's been quite a while since we've done one of those, and several things worked against us for doing those for a while, but we're getting those going again, and that is for all of you who are guests, and you've been guests for a while. That's also for those of you who are new members, or maybe it doesn't feel so new anymore, but you want to learn a little bit more about the history of the church, who we are, where we come from, where we're going, and also just a great way to get to know some other folks. So we're having another Discovering Chennault meal Saturday evening, November 3rd, starting at 5:30, and we would love for you to participate. So send us an email to the office email account, office@chennaultvalleychurch.org. You can let us know if you want to come. We'll have a sign-up sheet in the foyer, although I don't think it ended up out there today, so we'll have one starting next week. But you can let me know. You can let the office know. We would love for you to participate. Well, as we begin this morning, I want to invite up Adam and Easton and Blake. They're going to read our scripture for us.
Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse.
Live in harmony with one another. Do not repay anyone evil for evil.
If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen. Could it sound more powerful to hear "don't repay evil for evil" with a little one like that? Thank you, guys. We really appreciate that. Okay, so when you think of people who are difficult, who comes to mind? And don't start pointing at people in the room. This is not an invitation. Some of you are like, right over here. And do not start pointing up at me. That is low-hanging fruit. I get that. Every one of you could point there. But we all have some people, some types of people that come to mind. Is it someone in particular that every time you're watching TV, if they end up on the TV, you are reaching for the remote? Or is it that coworker that if they speak up in a meeting, you physically have to hold your eyes to keep them from rolling because your eyes just want to roll when they speak? Or is it someone that when your phone starts to ring or buzz and you see their name, they're calling, they're texting, a sense of dread comes over you? And you start having that inner dialogue. Do I answer? Do I answer? I don't want to answer. I don't want to respond. Voicemail. Thank you, voicemail. I'll get back to them later. Do you have someone that you were friends with and then you became friends with them on social media, and so you could no longer follow them as a friend on social media if you wanted to remain their friend in real life? You couldn't take one more text or post. Is it that obnoxious bandwagon, rub it in your face sports fanatic? Or is it someone who's not religious enough, faithful enough for your taste? Or is it someone who is way too religious for your taste? Is it someone, that clammy handshake guy? Or overly huggy girl? Is it the argumentative, know-it-all expert on everything? Or the friend who wants to get together, but when they want to get together, it is only to sell you something, the latest something? Is it the person who makes every conversation about them? Is it people from different cultures, different background, and you just struggle to connect, you struggle to understand? Is it a person who has reached very different convictions and conclusions than you have, and trying to live at peace and make peace has become wearisome and burdensome, and you're a little beaten down and exhausted? I could go on and on with the examples, and some of you are saying, I think you already have gone on and on with the examples. Fair enough, but let me add one more thing. If you're sitting in the pew right now and you're thinking, you know, I can't think of a single person that I find difficult, chances are you're the difficult one. I'm just saying, you might want to clue into that. You might be the one that other people thought of. We all have moments when we struggle to love others, especially people who were other than us. As I pointed out in the first sermon in this series, when Jesus talks about the way we welcome strangers, one of the reasons that's so hard is that strangers can be strange. We all have moments when we struggle to love others, sometimes because the others are odd, and sometimes it's because we find them obnoxious and off-putting. We all have moments when we struggle to love others. Sometimes we find it's difficult because they're different, and sometimes it's because we find them difficult, and sometimes we start to find that the real thing is, the more different they are, the more difficult we find it to love them, at least as we're supposed to. And yet we keep hearing over and over the kind of message Jesus tells us in Matthew 5. That if you only love those who love you, who are like you, don't expect a lot of attaboys and pats on the back for that, because that's no different than the base kind of love we experience every day in our quid pro quo world. Or as Jesus said in Luke 14, which we've already heard, if you only extend hospitality, if you only welcome into your home and into your heart people who are already in your circle, people who can advance your standing, if those are the only people that you welcome in, the kind of people that can return favor for favor and pay you back in kind, then you've bought into a hospitality and welcome that is far less than the welcome that the kingdom is trying to call out in us. The kind of hospitality that opens our hearts and homes to the overlooked and the oppressed and the forgotten. Now, I want to spend a little time in the section that the Carters read for us this morning in Romans 12. And so if you didn't open up your Bibles at the beginning, open them up now. You may have noticed that at the end of most of Paul's letters, he often has a lengthy ethical section. where he lists some vices that we need to be moving away from as people of new creation, but also virtues that we need to keep growing into and leaning into as people who are trying to live the Jesus life. And when it comes to the virtues, we get endless reminders about things like forgiveness and kindness and patience and peacemaking and compassion and unity and humility and putting others before ourselves and above ourselves, and above all of that, and worked into all of that is love. And the question is, why does the church need so many reminders? Every letter he writes, there's reminders at the end. This is what you need to lean into. This is what you're called to. Compassion, forgiveness, kindness, mercy, patience, love. Why do we need so many reminders? Because people can be difficult. As Bruce reminded us, communion is about community, and yet community can be difficult. Living in relationship with others can be difficult, even when you have a lot in common, and it can be a whole lot more difficult when you have less in common. We don't typically need reminders about things that are easy, right? Love adorable puppies and cute little babies. Remember, don't forget, and we're like, we got that one. That one's easy. But love the difficult. Stay in connection and community with those who are different. Continue to offer patience and forgiveness and mercy and kindness. That can be hard. I've shared this quote before, but I am always challenged by what Dorothy Day says when she says, "We love God only as much as the person we love the least." We love God only as much as the person we love the least. Which may very well be a play on what we hear in 1 John, which says, how can you claim to love a God you have not seen if you can't love a brother or sister that you have seen? So how do we start to love those we love the least? How do we love those we find difficult? Well, I want to suggest just start with some little things. I'm not talking about anything enormous right now. Look for small ways to bless those whom you find difficult. Now, this can be enemies, adversaries, opponents, but it can just be people who are obnoxious, people who are strange, people who are challenging for you to spend time with or talk with. That's the message that Paul keeps circling back to in Romans 12. So look with me here at a few of these verses. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, I will be honest. That goes against some of my hardwiring. That goes against a lot of our instincts, right? When a coworker hurts you, or a spouse does that thing again that they have done more times than you can count, or a friend shares something with someone else that you shared with them in confidence, or a group advocates things that you just don't understand and you can't comprehend and you don't agree with, or something simple, you've been on the phone for 25 minutes already, between hold and 10 frustrating minutes with a customer care rep. And that's when they finally turn you over to a customer care specialist. And the specialist starts over as if the first 25 minutes haven't happened, and there is a sound of condescension in their voice, and you just can't take it anymore. In all of those instances and endless more, you cannot instantly eliminate the feelings of frustration and anger. That's not possible. You can't snap your fingers and make all the hurt go away. And as popular as it is to suggest and say, it is impossible in all situations to forgive and forget. As if we can just wipe the memory clean, like we're starting over with an iPhone and beginning again. Well, I guess I better delete all of this and start afresh. The brain does not work that way. However, we can still choose to forgive because we know that's a Jesus-like thing to do. And because we remember how merciful God has been to us, we can choose to stop playing the game that seems so popular these days. The game that we should have moved past after third grade. Well, he started it. Well, they started it. Well, we're just doing what they did 2 years ago, or 4 years ago, or 6 years ago. We can choose not to retaliate, not to talk trash behind someone's backs, not to try to rally the troops to our side. We can choose to bless, not curse, to pray for God's goodness on another. We can offer a kind word to the cranky and a smile to the perpetually grumpy. We can listen patiently. Even when the other person is rude and impatient, we can continue to extend extra grace. And we all know that there are some people who are frequently in need of extra grace if we are going to stay in relationship with them. And in the process, Paul says, we might just be heaping burning coals on their head. Now, I think we need to know that this is not a way to say, and so you can be passive aggressive. Make it look like you're being really kind, but in the end, it's a sick burn. You're going after them. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is you offer little morsels of mercy to the rude woman checking you out at Walmart, and you offer a cool drink of kindness to the obnoxious client who is always thirsty to be right in every situation. And this burning, heaping coals on the other person's head, it's not a way to get even. It is a way to change the world. It is a way that good in the end wins out over evil. Or let's make this a little more simple. Paul says in 12:10, be devoted to one another in love. Or in 16, live in harmony, unity with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Now, what if we broaden that idea of associating with people in low position, or I think the Garth Brooks translation is people in low places. What if we went a little beyond that? And we look for small ways. Thank you, by the way, for the two people who chuckled just a tiny bit. What if we look for small ways to start to befriend those who are different from us? What if we associate with people and befriend people in different places in life, from different positions, people coming from different perspectives, people who see the world and experience the world and talk about the world in very different ways from us? I can't help but think that seeking friendship that's marked by kindness and an effort to understand and respect other people from other places is one of the best ways to try to strive to live at peace with everyone. And it's my opinion that our nation saw a really powerful example of that, whatever that was, a few weeks back or a couple of months back at John McCain's memorial service. Now, let me pause right here to say I almost never mention anything even remotely connected to anyone remotely connected to politics. Because I know that if I don't get it exactly right from every different angle, I will hear about it. I'll be hearing about it probably after this illustration. Because we live in a time, it seems, when civility toward people who are different from us is treated as sin, and I'm not sure how we got here. But I'm pretty sure that's not the place that Christians need to resign. So I found it fascinating. I will also tell you, in case you say, now, do you remember 4 hours into the second memorial service when some, my answer is no. I saw about 10 minutes of the service. So if you're questioning me, if I understood and agree with every single thing that was said, I didn't even hear everything that was said. I saw a little bit of it. But here's what I love, that the last two people that defeated him in an election both spoke at his memorial service. And they were from different parties. Who does that sort of thing anymore? I love that image of a unity that extends past some of the diversity. And there was another little image that popped up that made the rounds, made the news, that I thought was something special to see, and I've learned happens from time to time. And maybe you saw it or you heard about it. There was a picture and a little video of one point during the middle of the memorial service when George W. Bush shared a cough drop with Michelle Obama. Maybe you saw the video or maybe you saw the picture. And what's interesting, I've since learned, is those two have developed a really unlikely friendship. Unlikely because it's people who come from very different backgrounds with very different perspectives and very different political leanings and convictions. And yet, protocol is when the former presidents and first ladies get together that they end up by each other every time. That's just the way it lines out. And they have developed this friendship when they're together. And this little act of giving and receiving kindness that they didn't think anyone would see was captured by all the world to see. And I can't help but think it is in little moments of giving and receiving kindness that we start to see this big world-changing event of goodness overcoming evil. So that's my encouragement to you, is to seek out relationships with people who are different. Look for times to grab coffee with someone from a different background or who worships differently or votes differently or comes from a different culture, and don't just talk, listen, and listen to understand, and listen respectfully. Get to know your neighbors and honor them as they are. Find little ways to shower kindness on those who are difficult and those who are just different. Because this is the goodness of Jesus that has the power to overcome the evil in our world.